So in today's reading, we encounter the compassionate God in today's reading. In the first reading, Jeremiah speaks to a people in exile. It's very hard to people. If you ever go to a refugee camp, I've been to one in Nauru. If you ever go to a refugee camp, there are so many refugee camps in the world now, especially in the Middle East, Turkey. And you preach to them about God's love and mercy. Imagine how hard it would be for them to receive. Especially for a people, they lost their country. They lost their identity. They lost their nation. They don't have a place they can call home. Ask people who left Syria because of ISIS. Ask people who left Iraq. Ask people who are in boats leaving places of trouble and even coming to many places, even to Australia, they come on a boat. Ask how they would feel. And in Jeremiah, speaking to a nation, Israel, they are in Babylonian exile. And they lost their country, partly because of their disobedience. And they are in exile. And they even say that, you know that famous song, how can we sing the Lord's song when we are in exile? By the rivers of Babylon. And to them, God's heart is coiling with love. His heart is full of tenderness. And he says, if the shepherds, which are kings, cannot lead you, that because the kings who are shepherds did not lead them and they lost the battle, now they lost their country, they are in exile. If the shepherds who are supposed to lead you, which are the kings, if they cannot be the shepherds, I will be your shepherd. In Jeremiah, he says, I will give you compassion. Same thing in the gospel we see. Jesus, he sent the disciples to mission and ministry. You know, of course, these days, you know, lay men and women go for mission. There is MGL sisters, MGL priests, brothers. We all go on different missions. Like Jesus sent his disciples on mission. Go and preach, heal the sick, work miracles, cast the devils. When they come back, Jesus had this tender heart. Jesus had this compassion for them. Go and rest. Go and rest. And then Jesus is not resting. He saw a people who are really hungry for more word of God. Hungry for more to hear from the disciples and of course from Jesus. And Jesus says, the word of God says, he felt compassionate again. He felt compassionate again and he reached out to them and prayed. How painful is to feel abandonment in life. How painful. How have we ever felt abandoned? We could feel abandoned in our own home. We can feel abandoned in our own marriage. A husband who can't understand the wife, or the wife who doesn't get any support from the husband. As a parent, we can be abandoned. We did everything for the children, but I feel abandoned. It's very hard, especially when it hits our soul. It's very hard. The abandonment, the lostness. Where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I with? Who is there for me? Abandonment. And how does Jesus tackle the abandonment? How does Jesus show compassion to a people who are lost, people who are in exile, people who are hungry to hear the word, people who are hungry to hear the truth? How does he tackle them? In the Gospel, Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 40, he says, he began to teach them. That is where our gospel finishes today and this evening. But if we continue, he multiplied the bread and gave to them. is still compassionate. He still comes out from his mountain to the shore to preach to us. He still be the shepherd who we are in exile in our life. How? The one way he satisfies our soul, the one way he gives compassion to our soul is through the Eucharist. What a beautiful gift we have in the Eucharist. And what a privilege as Catholics, as a priest, to celebrate the Eucharist. He is still compassionate. God still comes out of his way to speak to our abandonment, speak to our lost through Eucharist. And some of the beautiful quotes from some of the saints. John Vianney would say, the Eucharist, when we have been to Holy Communion, the balm of love envelops the soul as the flower envelops the bee. That is so powerful, isn't it? When we receive Holy Communion, the presence of Jesus comes to our soul and envelops our soul. Again, Mother Teresa would say, St. Ignatius of Antioch would say, I hunger for the bread of God, the flesh of Jesus Christ. I long to drink his blood, the gift of unending love. Unending love. The Eucharist, how much God's compassionate heart comes to us. And that is why we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we do not have a high priest who celebrates Mass. In this case, Jesus who sacrifices himself. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. But in everything except sin, he became one with us. So the first quality, I would say, of the first miracle that happens in the Eucharist, the sympathy of God is with us. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. But we have a high priest in the Eucharist. Every Eucharist, when the high priest, when Jesus breaks himself, the one and only intention of him is, I want to sympathize with my people. And then the writer of the Hebrew says, he sympathizes. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. And what is the throne of grace? The altar. When the high priest is sympathizing with us, when he is taking my pain, when he is taking our problems, when he is taking our sins and offers himself for our remedy, we approach the throne of grace. Where does the grace come from? From the altar. See the power of the Eucharist for our soul. That is why in Ezekiel chapter 47, we have this beautiful image of a temple. From each gate of the temple, water flows. From the angel of the Lord, take Ezekiel to the temple. And the temple, what he sees is, from the south side, from the north side, from the east side, from the west, the water flows underneath the altar. The water flows out of the altar. Water, Holy Spirit, grace. And as we read Ezekiel, we read, wherever the water went, there was life. There was life in the water. Around the river banks, there was always trees and plants. It was lushful. And every month, it produces fruit because the water was always there. That is the compassion God has given to the world, the Holy Eucharist. Because there is preaching of the word, there is breaking of the word. And that is probably the one reason Jesus took the disciples who are completely lost. After his death, they went away for fishing. John chapter 20, he asked them, come, let us break the bread I have prepared for you. Maybe that is the reason he took the two disciples who went away from Jerusalem, walking to Emmaus, so confused. And he broke the bread with them. He broke the word with them. And their heart was enlightened and opened. They returned back to Jerusalem. The one way God shows his compassion these days is Eucharist. Because it is where the water flows out of. It is where life flows out of. It is where the grace flows out of. It is the balm of the soul. When I am so tired in my soul, when I am ashamed in my soul, I look up to the God who comes to me as a humble bread. And his presence in my shame, his presence in my abandonment makes me radiant. Becomes the balm for my soul. I remember a story a friend priest of mine said. This is a story from India. And he was an assistant parish priest at this church. And there used to be a Hindu girl who comes to mass every day. A Hindu girl, because she studied in a hostel run by the nuns, she used to come for mass. And she had this unusual love for Holy Eucharist. She would come. One day she approached this friend of mine, the priest, and said, "Father, can I hold..." She can't receive communion. "Can I hold the plate?" You know, there's even in India they used that plate. In the olden days we had that. The plate, "Can I hold it?" And the priest said, "You're not baptized, you're not from a religion. Why would you want?" "I just want to be so close to Jesus. I can't receive him, but I just want to be so close to Jesus." And this priest allowed. And then this priest would say, she used to go and sit with a Catholic after receiving. A Catholic will come after receiving the communion. She would go and sit next to that person, touching that person, saying that, "I can touch Jesus. I can touch Jesus." This is the real story. And the priest told me she has received into the church and she's baptized. She receives communion now. The faith of an unbeliever. Nuns taught her that there is Jesus truly present in the sacrament. Imagine that. You know, I received Jesus. This person is coming to me, sitting next to me, touching me to feel Jesus, which is in me, who is in me. There is a story of another priest, Father Manish. He's ordained now maybe 3-4 years. He was preparing for his ordination. And just three, four days before his ordination, he received a sad news that his mother has got a brain tumor, severe brain tumor. And then everyone said, "Okay, let's postpone the ordination. Let's postpone the ordination." But then family all go together, no, we have to do something. So the deacon said, "Oh no, I can postpone my ordination. Mom, you need to go to hospitals." And she went to hospital. They said it is a very serious stage of brain tumor. She needs to be operated very, very soon. And the date they gave, the doctors gave, was the ordination day of her son. And the son said, "Okay, ordination is getting postponed. I am not going to, get my ordination without you when you are in the hospital." The doctor said, "The another date we can give you only after a week. That is too late for your brain tumor." And the son decided, "Okay, we will celebrate. We will do the ordination." But the mother said, "Let us be faithful. Let us be hopeful. My son, when you say the mass, when Jesus becomes, when the bread becomes Jesus' body, when the wine becomes Jesus' blood, when you lift the chalice, just pour out my life into that chalice and pray to Jesus. Jesus, as you transform this wine to blood, as you transform this bread to your body, transform my mom and heal her." This is what the mom told the deacon to pray. So finally the deacon agreed. The mom postponed the operation. Mom came for the ordination day. And the deacon prayed. Heartbreakingly he prayed. As soon as he celebrated the mass, as he lifted the chalice, as he lifted the bread, he prayed for his mother. And his mother prayed, "Oh Jesus, who is in my son's hand, please heal me. Oh Jesus, who is in my son's hand, please heal me." Guess what? After his ordination, they went for another scan. There was no sign of brain tumor in her mother's brain, in his mother's brain. There was no sign of brain tumor. And this priest, now he preaches with passion about Eucharist. Imagine the miracle on his first mass for his mother. to change, to convict him about the power of the Eucharist. How many people such as us after communion so that they can feel the vibration that is in us? How many people touches us and see, I can see there is power in you. How many people, maybe it's sometimes bow before us. John Vianney used to bow before others who are coming out of communion because he saw Jesus in us. My dear brothers and sisters, so much power we have in the Eucharist. Every time we feel tired, let us run into the chapel, and throne of grace is always there. Touch the throne and say, Jesus, help me. When we receive communion, we receive Jesus himself. And when he is in our heart, we say, Jesus, I invite you into all the mess in my life. And imagine Jesus comes into our mess. What should we be afraid of? It is the cause of unending joy. It is the cause of unending joy. So tonight, let us receive the communion with passion. Let us know Jesus truly comes to us. We become so holy. Jesus still ministers his compassion to us through the Eucharist. I invite you to lift up all your tensions, all your problems, whether it is your sickness, whether it is a healing matter, a relationship issue. As the bread becomes the body, as the wine becomes his blood, may our life also be transformed and consecrated. And may we receive him, may we receive him. Let us be so cautious that we are receiving Jesus. We are receiving the cause of unending joy. We are receiving a compassionate God who is truly blessed.